Sometimes unity has been preached and quoted as a code for conformity. Yet, when we talk about unity, we're not talking about conformity. We're not talking about uniformity. We still have different opinions about certain things, different perspectives, and it's diverse.
That was Pastor Gilbert Foliente, giving a powerful reminder to our pastors and staff during a summit for our Victory Provincial Churches.
In this podcast, we answer why we value and fight for relational unity.
It is not our relationship that sustains our oneness. It is our oneness purchased by Christ that sustains our relationships.
Welcome to the Leading Together podcast, where we take an inside look at how we develop a leadership culture at Victory and Every Nation Philippines.
We believe that leadership is best done together, and that's why we do this podcast. We hope this helps you lead better together.
I'm Ryan. I'm part of our creative team in Victory and Every Nation Philippines.
And I'm Elle, a campus missionary from Every Nation Campus. We're glad to have you listen to this episode of Leading Together about relational unity.
This pandemic has tested relationships. We hear stories about people falling out of friendships and even marriages because of the challenges brought about by the global crisis.
The present is really one of the most divisive times we have faced. This is true not only for families or workplaces, but even for our church. Since relational unity is valuable to Victory and Every Nation, how do we maintain it when it's one of the hardest to do at this time?
In this podcast, Pastor Gilbert shows why unity is mission critical for us. Here's the message.
Thank you, Pastor John. Classmate sa doctoral studies. Pinablik mo ako, ipapublic din kita. But anyway, magandang umaga sa buong Pilipinas, Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao, at lahat ng magaganda at gwapo na nandito sa center ng Victory Lipa. It's such a privilege to be here. Again, just want to honor and thank our Bishop's Council. Sabi nga ni Pastor John, it's always different when the spiritual fathers are around, and I really, really appreciate their spiritual leadership over our movement for many, many years, many decades. We will never be where we're at apart from the leadership of our founders in our Bishop's Council. Sila yung spiritual father, ako raw yung kuya. Sabi. Michael, ikaw, father ka na rin daw. But anyway, also want to appreciate all our admin staff, all our hardworking. Kung admin staff ka dito, pwede ka bang tumayo? Admin staff ka, wherever you are in that center, let's all stand. Lahat ng admin staff natin. On behalf of all the pastors, thank you so much for all that you do. When Pastor John talk about mission alignment of campus ministry, church planting, world mission, we will never be able to accomplish that apart from you, your service, and your leadership. Maraming salamat sa inyong lahat. And of course, all our pastors and all our campus missionaries, thank you for all that you do. Pakalapakan naman natin lahat ng pastors, campus missionaries, tirelessly making disciples, raising leaders, tirelessly doing campus ministry, church planting, world missions. Thank you for all that you do. I want to honor all our senior pastors. If you're a senior pastor dito, can you please stand? All our senior pastors, please stand. Hey, let's all give just a round of applause to honor our senior pastors. We've always said this. All of us do the work of the ministry, but there are some who carry the bulk of the weight of the ministry. And these senior pastors are carrying the bulk of it. And I could not think of any season or any hour in the history that we've been alive, and even as a movement, where pastoring, being a senior pastor, has been the most difficult. And this is it. And I want to encourage all of the staff and all of the pastors and all of our campus missionaries. Alam ko lahat ng senior pastors nyo perfect, wala kayong makitang flaw. Pero kung meron man paminsan, paminsan meron tayong makitang a little imperfection, I want us to give all allowances to them because they're doing such a tough assignment. And I want to honor all of you senior pastors. On behalf of the Bishop's Council, maraming maraming salamat. Palakpakan natin lahat ng ating mga senior pastors. Of course, our regional leadership team, our provincial leaders, and our VPC leadership team, ginawa na ni Pastor Michael kahapon. Bishop Jure, thank you for the years of laying down the foundation of in the lives of our senior pastors in the provinces of our churches. And then Pastor Alberto for taking church planting to the next level. Alam mo yung nasa pandemic na tayo, and I believe it is because of the momentum that was generated when you were leading, that we are still planting churches even during the pandemic. I mean, it's amazing. Ilan ba this year, Pastor John? 14 churches planted this year. And next year, there's going to be 11. 25 churches will be planted because of the zeal, the passion, the leadership of the VPC leadership team. But primarily, thank you, Pastor John, for your leadership. Thank you for doing that. Palakpakan natin si Pastor John. And of course, Pastor Narciso. I know Pastor John has been all of us, local church guy. We had to pry out LB from Pastor John because he loves LB, he loves the church, and yet he's willing to do whatever it takes to be able to serve the whole movement. Pastor John, thank you. And your message yesterday on mission alignment was so on point, especially because we are a missional movement. We are not a theological movement. And that's why we allow for some secondary doctrinal diversity in our movement. You can be a Calvinist, you can be Armenian, and we say we can coexist and we can be united because we're a missional movement. We're here for the mission of campus ministry, church planting, and world missions. You can have a position on eschatology where you're pre-mill, post-mill, pro-mill. It doesn't really matter kung nasan ka doon. We are still going to be together as long as we're aligned with the mission because we are a missional movement. We're going to do church planting, campus ministry, and world missions together. In fact, the very reason why every nation got together, as Pastor Steve and Rise and Phil would dub it as the miracle in Manila, was primarily because of the mission. They thought, you're planting churches, you're doing campus ministry, you're going to the world, we're all doing it, why don't we do it together? We can be better together if we pursue this mission together. As the saying that we've always said, if you're new as a staff, if you're new as a pastor and you've never heard this before, there's a saying that we say, mission brings us together. Okay, but as important as mission alignment is to us, we believe it is incomplete apart from relationships. That's why our saying is not just stopping with mission brings us together. We say mission brings us together, yet relationships keep us together. Now, this is a wonderful saying. How many of you have ever heard this? Okay, mission brings us together, but it's relationships that keep us together. Now, it seems like, sa unang tingin dito, parang complementary lang sila, parang magkaiba, pero complementary yung isa. Mission, outward, action, pero relationships, inward, and then emotion. Diba? Parang ganun eh. But I want to say and submit to us today that that is not the case because both of them are about mission. When you think about relationships and relational unity is not something that we just want to do to help us feel good. Para magkakasama tayo, ang saya natin, hindi tayo nag-aaway, nagkukumbaya together, let's sing this song. But I want to submit this morning that relational unity is mission critical. Relational unity is so much connected with what Pastor John talked about when he talked about missional alignment. This is not a separate message, it is a continuing message. In fact, when Jesus was about to die, think about this. Jesus was on a mission to let the world know about him and his salvation, that he's the only Savior. Before he died, what was foremost on his mind? It's the mission. But because the mission was foremost on his mind, in John 13, he made a plea to his disciples. What was the plea? In order for us to complete the mission, he said, I give you another command, a new command. What is it? Love one another. John 13, if you love one another, the world will know. The mission will be accomplished if you do this. And then in John chapter 17, he did not only make a plea to the disciples, he offered a prayer to the Father. In John 17, it says, Lord, that they may all be one, that you and me are one, and in you that I may also be in us, so that the world may believe. He was about to die. Foremost on his mind was mission, and in his mind, mission will never be accomplished apart from unity. Mission will never be accomplished apart from unity. Say that again. And I want to say this. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, apologetics of the Christian faith is our relational unity. One of the greatest apologetics. Sino sa inyo dito may kilala mahilig mag-aral ng apologetics? Diba, ang dami mong alam. Pero ang dami mong alam and you can reason, but if you don't know how to maintain unity with your brother, with your pastor, with your admin staff, with the people in the church, then we will not be very effective. Relational unity is mission critical. In the book of Acts, we can see they grew and they expanded. But before they grew and expanded, ano yung paulit-ulit? They were together. They were together with glad and sincere hearts. They were one heart, one mind, united in heart, united in mind. Relational unity was a major critical reason why they grew and expand and was able to accomplish the mission. And if we're going to take the opposite of that, we were reading, one of our readings in Asbury, we were reading The Rise of the Nuns book, where it was talking about the rise of people who say they're not religious, they have no affiliation. And here's what happened. They made a survey in the United States asking people, why don't you go to church among unchurched people in the U.S.? And here's what they said. Here's the main, ito daw yung isa sa major answer, common answer. Division and discord are perceived to be more present in church than in many other groups. Ooh. Why would anyone want to become involved with something that in his or her mind is so obviously dysfunctional? In the early years of the book of Acts, it was so attractive because they were together. More than 2,000 years after, it's repelling because they're not together, at least in the minds of the unchurched. So let's talk about relational unity in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 to 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope it belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let us pray. Lord, let your word sink deep in our hearts that it would create a transformation. Whatever is trying to divide us, Lord, today we will make every effort to crush it so that we can maintain the unity of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In these passages, we're going to talk about three things: the purpose of unity, the posture for unity, and the purpose of unity, the posture of unity, and the perspective on unity. So the first one, the purpose of unity. And I want to submit this in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We all know Ephesians chapter 1 to 3. They were indicatives of who we are in Christ. This is done with. And then 4, 5, and 6 are the imperatives. These are the things of how you live in Christ. This is already, but this is not yet. You have to walk this out. And so he started chapter 4 with therefore, based on the indicatives, based on who you are in Christ, based on what he has done for you, based on the cross, based on his divine sacrifice, based on his suffering. Therefore, he said, I urge you, I beseech you, I implore you. Paul was trying to plead with them, don't let Jesus' death mean nothing. He died so that you can walk in a manner worthy of that death. He died so that you can walk worthy in the manner of that sacrifice. He died so that you can walk worthy in the manner of that suffering. He's pleading with them. Do this. And here's the purpose of unity. And when you talk about, he was pleading. Live in such a way that it's worthy of the cross. How many of you want that? Because he died for us. You want to live worthy of the cross. You want to live worthy of his suffering. You want to live worthy of his divine sacrifice. You want to say, I mean, all of us would say yes, right? The reason why we're in the ministry is because we said yes to that. We want to live that out. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to the world. I'm going to reach and I'm going to disciple. I'm going to do this. And yet he said, yes, those are all good, but I'm talking about unity. The purpose of unity. And there's so many. And there's a lot. And to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, there's a lot of things. But in this verse, the primary thing he said that you can do to walk in a manner worthy of your calling is unity. How many of us would say, I'll serve, yes. I'll go to nations, yes. I'll die for the mission, yes. Will you unite with the person seated next to you? Iba yung position niya eh. Magkaiba kami when it comes to vax and unvax. Eh magkaiba kami ng poli... Pink ako eh. Yellow. Blue. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling by being united to one another. Walking in a manner worthy of your calling is not accomplished by just doing it alone because you were called to a people. Jesus died for a people. Jesus died to reconcile you to God. Great. There is a manner worthy of doing that. But Jesus died to reconcile us to one another. In Ephesians, that's the Jew and the Gentile. Historically, centuries, hostile, divided. And he said, I died to make you one. If you're going to live a life worthy of the calling, unite. Be united. Unity was so important to Paul that he reserved some of his harshest words of discipline to those who try to break it. Listen to this, Titus chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. The saying is trustworthy. And I want you to insist on these things. What are the things? Grace of God, mercy of God, so that those who believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to do good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Grace of God, mercy of God. But, here's the contrast. The grace of God and the mercy of God are so good, so profitable. It implores you, inspires you to do good works. But the contrast. The contrast with God's grace and God's mercy was not some form of super impure stuff that you're doing. He said this, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Ang contrast niya sa grace at mercy ni God, division. And think about this. Usually, ang contrast, yung total opposites, they are the diametrically opposed to each other. Grace of God, mercy of God, division. And then he said this, verse 10, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. How many of you know these are serious things? Because if we want to walk in a manner worthy of the cross, unity should be of utmost importance to us. Unity in our team, unity among the church members, unity among the universal brotherhood of Christians. A lot of us would say, I won't tolerate immorality in the church. Ba't ka nagmumura? Bawal magmura. Bawal magyosi. Bawal ito. Pero division, okay lang. Magkaiba kami. Stealing, hindi pwede. Pero division, medyo okay. Eh, sabi niya, hindi. If we want to truly walk in a manner worthy of His death and resurrection, then we have to value, highly value, prioritize, and pursue unity. Now, the question is how? I hope we're convinced unity is important. But how is another thing. So let's talk about the posture of unity. And here's what he said. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. NIV says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. When I was a new Christian, nung mga first days of victory, first days of Maranatha pa dati, ang daming natatawag na name sa akin. Hey, champ! Alala nyo ba? May mga hey, champ! Come on, champ! Yeah! Hey, hero! We hero! Faith! Great faith! Come on! Wow, okay sa akin. Kaya minsan, pag hindi mo na maalala yung pangalan, champ lang tawag mo. Hey, champ! Hey, hero! Hey! Isip ko, kilala kaya nila ako talaga. Baka hindi lang nila nalalaman yung pangalan. Hey, champ! It's great because we're a missional movement. Because champ and hero and faith really inspires you to do something bold and radical and great for God, isn't it? That helped me. That helped me. But think about these traits. How many of us would say, come on, gentleman. Oh, long-suffering man. Come on, change the world. Oh, you're so patient. You're going to change the world. Parang hindi, di ba? Parang kailangan faith, big faith, hero, great, champion, world conqueror, changer. Pero ito, what? And yet, this is the posture and the trait that's so needed for unity. And because unity is critical to the mission, we should not just stop with faith and boldness. And we need that. And great hero and conqueror and champion, we need these things as well. Humility, gentleness, patience, long-suffering. Our unity of the Spirit has been purchased by His precious blood. That's why we already have it. Again, pag tinignan natin sa verse 3, maintain the unity of the Spirit. So verse 12, attain to the unity of the faith. Already, but not yet. So make every effort to maintain it. If Jesus shed His blood to keep us united, how many of you know it is worth every effort to keeping it? Even if we sweat for it, it's worth it. Even if we bleed for it, it's worth it. Let's make every effort to maintain what Jesus purchased by His precious blood. Pray for it. Invest time and emotion in it. Sacrifice for it. Swallow your pride for it. Bite your tongue for it. Hold your fingers for it. If you want to type something that will cause division, get your fingers and put it in your pocket. Endure pain for it. Eh, sinaktan niya ako, endure it because this is worth it. Move in the opposite spirit for it because Jesus purchased this precious unity with His precious blood. Make every effort. That's the posture. Pastor Steve tweeted 4 years ago. He said, disagreement is okay. How many of you know, sometimes you'll disagree with the person seated next to you? Tingnan mo nga. Oh, a lot of times. Okay, it's okay. Disrespect, dishonor, and disunity are not. Disagreement is okay. Disrespect, dishonor, disunity are not. Make every effort. That's the posture. And lastly, the perspective on unity. We are one. Iba, mayroong sinasabi sa Hebrew language, repetition is for emphasis. Lagay mo sa tatlo, sobra-sobra na yon. Parang pagtatlo, di ba, pagka sinabi mong nag-emphasize ka, very low blood. Diba? Emphasis yun, double. Pag clinipol mo, ang baba ng very low blood mo. Diba? Parang talagang todo-todo na yon. Ito, inulit-ulit yung one. One body, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. The writer was trying to emphasize, we are one. That's a perspective. And I know that throughout history, the language of unity, I mean, pag tinignan natin sa America, the language of unity sa Africa was often used to suppress change that felt threatening to those who were leading. Sometimes unity has been preached and quoted as a code for conformity. Yet, when we talk about unity, we're not talking about conformity. We're not talking about uniformity. Being one, husband and wife, how many of you are happily married? Raise your hands. Okay, kung yung asawa mo hindi nagtataas ng kamay, medyo pataasin mo. Okay, happily married. Yeah, man. How many of you know when you're married, you're one, but you're still different? We still have different opinions about certain things, different perspectives. We look different. I hope you look different. You dress different. You're still different. Physically, emotionally, there's so many things. The body, it says one body. Although there's one body, how many of you are glad there's not one multiple body parts? Puro mata lang, di ba? Puro ilong. Pag umulan, di ba? Malunod ka. Kasi ilong lang. You have one body, but you have many parts. And it's diverse. And that's what makes it beautiful. Being one doesn't mean that all of us should be named Pastor John. Pastor John, Pastor John. It doesn't mean that we should be clones of one church, Victory Lipa or Victory Batangas. We're diverse and we want diversity. But here's the thing, in chapter 2, he said, he has broken down the wall of hostility so that they can be one. Now, if you've officiated a wedding before, how many of you have ever done that? And you probably have quoted Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, and I believe this. And I've said this whenever I officiate weddings. It is not your love that sustains the marriage, but from now on, the marriage that sustains your love. And I believe this. Why? Because when you get married, a covenant is forged to make you one. There's a miracle of oneness that happens. So it's not the love that sustains the marriage, it's the oneness that sustains the love. Now, if we follow the same logic, and I believe this is biblical, there's a covenant that God cut so that we can be reconciled to Him, but there's a covenant that He cut so that we can be reconciled to one another, then with the same logic, it is not our relationship that sustains our oneness, it is our oneness purchased by Christ that sustains our relationships. Yung iba kasi ganito mag-isip, eh pastor, hindi naman kasi siya nag-spend ng time sa akin eh. So paano kami magiging united? It's not the relationship that sustains the oneness. You're already one. That's why you make every effort and then the relationship is sustained. That's the perspective of being one. Now I want to end with this. Ephesians chapter 2. I talk about the imperative. Walk this out. But here's the indicative. Let me go back to the indicative, and we're going to do communion together. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners. You're no longer strangers. You're no longer divided. You're no longer hostile. You're fellow citizens with God's people. You're members of His household. You're one. And then he said this, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It's done. It's indicative. And Jesus Christ is your chief cornerstone. I've said a lot of imperatives that are heavy for all of us. It was heavy when I was preparing it. But we have to go back to the indicative. Jesus is already our cornerstone. When you talk about a cornerstone, it's the center. Jesus is already at the center. When you walk out that relational unity, remember, He is at the center. We live in a hyper-polarized world today. Hyper. Because Christians and pastors would strongly hold with conviction their positions on certain issues, right? Ang position ko sa theology, ito, dito ko. But somebody has the same conviction, would hold a position in theology here. And they're strong there. Vaccination, I'm very strong here. Somebody says, I'm very strong here. Political affiliation, I'm very strong here. But yet, the Bible is indicative, Christ is not in your right position. He is not in the left position. Christ is in the center position. He is the one where we reference our positions. We don't bring Christ. Ang usually kaya nagdi-divide eh. Eh si Christ nandito sa position? No, He's at the center. He is the reference point. And the Bible exhorts us, and I'm going to close with this. Do not just have the right position, have the right posture. How you hold your position is more important than the position you hold. How you hold your position, yes, with conviction, but hold it loosely. Yes, with conviction, but hold it loosely. How you hold your position, are you gonna be tight in that? That you lose Christ at the center? Or are you going to hold it with conviction but loosely? And you're ready to make every effort to release it, to maintain the unity of the Spirit that Christ at the center has purchased for us. Let's all stand. If you're, wherever you are, you're in your home, you're in the center, stand with me as we pray. I'm going to pray that God will recenter us. No matter what strong position you're holding, to let go of it and say, Lord, you're at the center. And all, can we all bow our heads and close our eyes? Let's all lift our hands to the Lord. Lord, you are the chief cornerstone of our lives. You are the chief cornerstone of our families. You are the chief cornerstone of our teams. You are the chief cornerstone of our churches. Lord, I ask that whatever position we're holding on to, no matter how much conviction we have on it, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us the grace to hold loosely. Lord, you are the reference point, not our position. So we're asking you, Lord, to recenter us back to you. Let's bow your heads and close your eyes. You can put down your hand. If you're here, let's bow your heads. I really feel this. Some of you need to make some effort to reconcile to someone, to restore a relationship with someone. Some of you would need to make a massive sacrifice to take that step, that initiative, whatever it is. And I want to pray for you that you will make that effort by the grace of God today. And we'll just all bow our heads and all eyes are closed, wherever you are. God knows. And you can reason in your mind, wala naman pastor, wala naman pastor. But you know, you need to make an effort. If that is you, maybe it's just an inch of division coming in. Maybe it has already divided you with someone. I want to pray for you that God will give you the grace to make an effort. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Can you just lift your hand? If you say, God is talking to me to make an effort. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Maybe you're there. I'm not there, but God is there. God sees your hand and God sees you. As received, say, Lord, I receive the grace to make an effort to reconcile, to restore, or maybe just to strengthen a fractured relationship. Lord, whatever it is, you know, they know. Lord, thank you that you are already in the center. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's so eye-opening to know that Jesus purchased unity for us. He even pleaded to his disciples to love one another.
Jesus is the reason why we can have unity and to keep it. We are called to be bringers of unity in a hyper-polarized world.
We know this topic isn't easy for the heart. Throughout listening to this message, you may have remembered an offense. Someone you have offended, or a person close to you who has been affected relationally. Do you need to talk to someone to make a sacrificial act to restore relational unity? If yes, pray that God will give you the grace to do so and lead you to people who can help you.
In a time filled with division, we pray that God will bring healing to your soul and restore whatever relationship has been broken in your life. Let's continue to lead together with unity.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to continue to talk about this, you can discuss this with your Victory Group leader. If you're not part of a Victory Group yet, you can visit victory.org.ph to find a church near you and get connected.
If this has been helpful for you, or if you think of someone who can be encouraged by this podcast, you can share this with them and discuss it together. See you in the next episode of Leading Together.